The text for our consideration for today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. From about 2002 to around 2017, I did not need a calendar to let me know that it was time for school to start up again, because every August before going back to teaching, I was plagued with the same recurring nightmare. The nightmare was that I had not yet completed my dissertation. I had one chapter yet to finish. This dissertation, of course, was a prime qualification for my job. The dream was so realistic that when I woke up, it would take me a while to realize that I didn't have to head back to Knoxville, Tennessee, and complete this project. There may be many reasons that I was plagued with this nightmare, but one explanation is what psychologists call imposter syndrome, which means internally feeling like a fraud or an imposter, despite succeeding or actually having the requisite credentials for success. My nightmares were troublesome enough, but nothing in comparison to the dire feelings we may sometimes have about our faith. As Christians, we're rightfully grieved when God's law shows us the enormity of our sins. But sometimes as well, when we look at our lives, we wonder whether we can really be Christians, whether God can forgive all our sins. We need then to be reminded that we are not imposters. We are chosen by God and his special people who have been redeemed, restored, and forgiven. As Christians, we can be plagued with the nightmare of imposter syndrome when we look only to our own works for our qualifications to be God's children, or base our confidence on our feelings. When at night we look back at our thoughts and actions over the past day, it's easy to despair. Though somehow we may have gone the entire day without cursing or swearing, have we really used the name of God rightly during the day in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving? It's hard for us to think of a day that goes by where we don't speak badly about somebody else. But even if we haven't spoken the words, we constantly think the worst about those around us and fail to defend our friends or even our enemies' names. We may not physically hurt those around us. We often harbor thoughts of envy, hatred, anger, or resentment towards others in our hearts. And we don't act with patience and mercy, forgiving others as God forgave us. Indeed, we can't even make it past the first commandment as we constantly put our own desires before God. We may also look at our friends and family and feel that in comparison with them, we are not true Christians, but imposters. They may know the Bible better than we do, or have more years of Christian schooling, or their lives seem to follow God's word better. We may be tempted to wonder then, am I really a Christian? Am I qualified? Do I have the right credentials to be a Christian? If we look at our own thoughts and actions, we are surely not qualified to be Christians. But thanks be to God who sent his own Son to suffer, die, and rise again for our sins. Peter says here that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. Not because what we have done, but because God took the action and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. Mercy. It is God's calling out of darkness through his mercy that makes us his own special people, a title we should cherish. While we continue to struggle with sin, we are justified before God through Christ. God has brought the qualifications for us. We don't have to and cannot do anything towards our own salvation. We have the assurance of God's word in 1 John 3:14, which we had a chapel on last week. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Among all things that God knows is, of course, all our sins. But he also, when he looks at us, knows that we are redeemed through Christ. But within this section, Peter also states why God has set us apart as his special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Oftentimes, we may not feel like we are good enough or knowledgeable enough Christians to share the gospel. Also, as we consider careers in the public ministry, we may say to ourselves, I'm not qualified enough. I'm too sinful. I would feel like an imposter. But here, we are told that God chose us as his special people to proclaim his word. As believers, we're qualified to share his word with others. And as Pastor Wayne Eichstead reminded us last week, whom God calls, he also equips. Finally, it's reassuring to know it's not our eloquence or reasoning that works faith, but the powerful word of God. We can think of Peter himself here as an example. He was not only an unschooled and ordinary man, but his doubt and unfaithfulness during the Holy Week culminated in denying Jesus three times publicly with oaths. He may have felt like a great imposter, but we can see that the Holy Spirit worked his gifts within Peter later in his sermon in Acts 2 and throughout his role in the early church. Let us then be reminded daily through Scripture and the Holy Spirit working within us that we are not imposters. We are God's special people. With that knowledge, we can go forth confidently every day and boldly proclaim his praises and glorify God in our lives. In fact, in the section right after our text, Peter urges his fellow Christians as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. If we depend on ourselves for good works, we'll fail. Instead, we recognize that the Holy Spirit works these fruits of faith in us. The benediction found near the end of Hebrews in chapter 13 seems a fitting way to close chapel today, for it also emphasizes how the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood completes us to do his will. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll close with the singing of hymn 373, verses 1, 3, and 7. Hymn 373, 1, 3, and 7.